For your faithful giving, we do appreciate that. It helps us to get done the work that we feel that God has called us to do here in Brockton. Amen? And so the title of my message this morning is called Get to the Good Part. Genesis 50 verse 19 says, by now everyone, that's where I'm going to tell you ahead of time. I got to do this first. I was going to start off by saying this morning that I was going to be brief, and you would either get that or you would not get that based on what you saw last week. That's all I'm going to say. You have to ask somebody else if you don't understand what's going on. But last week was the Super Bowl, and I think everyone who is interested in the Super Bowl knows the final score and who won. Even if you didn't watch, if you didn't watch it live, maybe you watched the recording of it and you already know that Kansas City won. Before streaming, we had these things called VCRs. You know what a VCR is? Right? So if you wanted to watch something, we also had church on Sunday night. So if you wanted to watch something on Sunday night and you weren't going to be home, you would have to I call it tape it. I don't know if that's, I record it. Right, and so you would have to record it. And one of the worst things would be is if somebody would tell you what was going on before you got home to watch it. And I remember very specifically that happening with the Super Bowl, because we would run service at the same time. And I just remember, I'm seeing Brian Oliveira here, that we used to have things on Super Bowl night. We would call it Super Bowl Sunday, and we would make Sundays in children's church. You know, I'm trying to tell people it's so much better than watching the Super Bowl come into church, right? And so now we don't do that so much, try to compete against something that we already know. So we'll have a Super Bowl party instead, and we'll all watch it together, and we'll pray for the food before we eat it. But I wanted to mention that to you about taping it and then watching it, and the one thing you didn't want to do is give away the score, right? You don't want to give the score away. Or if you had a favorite TV show but you weren't able to watch that TV show, you would tape it, and the worst thing would be that somebody would wreck it for you. And if you're going to do that, if you're like, even now online, if you went to see a movie and you can't believe what happened, you don't tell everybody. You write spoiler alert, right? Type that in. And when you say spoiler alert, you know, hey, I don't want to know what happened. I don't want to know. I'm going to watch it for myself. Or even a book that, you know, you don't want somebody to go ahead and tell you the ending of the book. And you've been like weeks invested in this book and reading, and they're going to give you the end before it starts. But I want to give you a spoiler alert today. I'm going to give you the end of the service before I start to speak. So Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is being done, the saving of many lives." Other versions, might be a version that you're more familiar with, says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." In fact, we sang that this morning. You took what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. So that's the, now you got the end of the message. Now I want to tell you everything. Yeah, stay tuned, because you want to know how we got there. Has anyone told you, like, to watch a certain TV show or to read something, and you start to read it, and they're, like, all excited about it, and you start watching it or you start reading the book, and you're like, it's okay, right? And then you go back and you tell them, like, so I was watching that. It's okay. And they tell you, well, you got to get more into it. You haven't got to the good part yet. And I know that happened with me. Anybody watch The Chosen? Anybody like The Chosen? Right? Okay, a lot of people, even people that didn't like it, are raising their hand that they didn't watch it, are saying they liked it. I don't know how that happens. But listen, people told me how good it was, and I have to tell you, I watched it, and I was like, it's okay. Don't judge me on that, but I just watched it, and I was like, oh, it's all right. And somebody told me that they felt the same way. They said, but then I watched a couple episodes, and then after I watched a couple episodes, I was hooked. And I've like, then I started binging it and couldn't. So that happened to me. I watched a couple more episodes. Then I really started liking it. I really started like kind of like bonding with some of the characters or seeing some of their different traits and things like that. There was another show. It's not a Christian show. This Is Us. Have anybody watched This Is Us? A lot of people watch it. Okay. So I cannot tell you how many people told me that I would like the show. These are people who knew what I like and what I don't like, and they said, you will love this show. And I watched an episode, and I was like, oh, it's okay. And then I watched another episode, and I was like, well, that's really good. Then we started binging the episodes. That means, for older people, it means watching like one after the other after the other, and you can't stop watching it. We binged it so much, and we loved the show so much, we had to stop, and we put ourselves on a... We rationed the show out. Like, we won't watch more than two in one night, or we won't watch more than five in one week, because we didn't want to get to the end of it and have it be over. We were really late to the party. So we watched it. We loved that show. We bonded with that show, and so much so that when Jack Pearson died, like, I took a personal day, like, because it's just, I had to grieve, and I had to mourn. But sometimes it takes a while to get to the good part. That's what I'm really trying to say. And sometimes we stop before we get to the good part. And this verse that we are going to look at today, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Do you know what story in the Bible that comes from? What story? Joseph. Like, we got a bunch of Bible scholars here today. I'm excited. You already know the story, so this is going to be easy. It comes from the life of Joseph. Old Testament Joseph, not Mary and Joseph from the New Testament, right? So Old Testament Joseph, it's about his life. And this morning, I want to go through some of the different seasons in Joseph's life that brings us to this verse. So season one starts in Genesis 37. Joseph is one of 12 sons of a man named Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. You might know Abraham from the hit song. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right? So Abraham, through Abraham, God is building a whole nation. In fact, nations God is building out of Abraham. And so Jacob is the one that has 12 sons. He has 12 sons, and he has a favorite son. He has a favorite son. The reason he has a favorite son is because he was the son of his favorite wife. So he had several wives as well. And as you know, that always is a good recipe for a happy home, right? And so he has two wives, and they were sisters to make it even more helpful, right? And so Joseph has a favorite son, and he lets everyone know. I might have a favorite son, but I'm not going to tell you if I do. I do have a favorite child, but he's not part of my family, like, so that doesn't count. But listen, Joseph is his father's favorite son, and Jacob lets everybody know he's the favorite son. He gives him a coat, and you remember from Sunday school days, it was a coat of many colors. We don't really know how many colors were in this coat, but it was a coat that definitely set him apart from the rest of his family. And it's not a coat that you would work in, so it was obvious that when everybody else is going to work, Joseph puts his coat on, right? And he's not working with the other brothers because he's different. He's special. See, I know what that's like because I was the favorite son. Right, Steve? I was the favorite son. And we all think we were the favorite son. That's the problem. But that's not good. It's not good because look what happened to Joseph. Like, so what happens with Joseph is he tells his brother about a dream that God gave him. God gave him a dream, and in this dream, he said, you are all bowing down before me. And they didn't like that dream. They didn't want to bow down before their little brother, right? They already don't like him. The father has made it so that he's the father's favorite, but he's not everybody else's favorite. One of his brothers, Reuben, they decided what they were going to do. They were going to kill him. He came to see them one day. They were out working in the fields. And they said, here comes that dreamer guy. Let's put it into his dreams. Let's kill him. And so they throw him in a pit, and they devise a plan that they're gonna kill him. So Reuben goes along with the plan. He's the oldest brother. Goes along with the plan, but in his mind, he says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to rescue him out of this pit before they kill him. And he goes away, he goes off to lunch, takes his lunch break. He comes back, and they have sold his brother as a slave because one of his brothers, Judah, says, hey, let's not kill him and have his blood be on our hands. Let's sell him. Like, is that better? Let's sell him. And so they throw him in the pit. They wait for a caravan to come along. This caravan's traveling to Egypt. They say, hey, we got a slave. You wanna buy him from us? And so they say, sure. So they take Joseph as a slave, and the brothers take a wild animal. They spill blood all over the coat. Then they bring it back to the father, and they say to the father, you recognize this coat? So they didn't say they killed him. They just said, you recognize this coat? And he said, yes, this is my son Joseph's coat. A wild animal must have killed him. And they let their father believe that for years and years and years. So this is really the end of season one. And it's not good. Well, it's not good at least if you're Joseph, right? He's now been sold as a slave to a caravan traveling to Egypt. So season two begins in chapter 39. Joseph has been sold as a slave to an Egyptian official, and his name is Potiphar. And he oversees everything in Potiphar's house, and he does a great job with it. The Bible points out his success came because the Lord was with him, because God blessed everything that Joseph did. But despite this blessing, things get bad. What happens in verse 7, it says, Joseph was well-built and handsome. I've said this before, maybe you remember it. If the Bible tells you that you are good looking, right? And nobody can tell you that you're not good looking, right? Because it's in the Bible. If they say, oh, you're so ugly, man, it's in God's Word. God's Word says that I'm handsome. And it says that he was well built and handsome. I have, and I believe that he was. The problem was Potiphar's wife thinks that he's good looking as well, and she tries to get him to go to bed with her. The Bible doesn't tell us if she was pretty or not. It talks about him, doesn't talk about her. But either way, Joseph refuses her advances, and it didn't just happen once. It happened day after day. But Joseph was a man of good character. He refused every time. And one day, she grabs him, and he has to slip out of his coat. He has coat problems. He has wardrobe malfunctions, right? I'm glad to know other people have wardrobe malfunctions. And so he wiggles out of the coat, runs away. She's rejected now, and she screams for help, right? Her other servants come in, and she says, Joseph tried to attack me. She tells her husband, that Hebrew that you brought into our house, he tried to attack me today. And Potiphar has no choice but to put him in prison. And I think that Potiphar kind of knew, because I think he knew Joseph, and I think he knew his wife. And he put him in prison. I think he put him in prison instead of killing him. Because I think that if he really believed that Joseph had done what she said, he probably would have had him executed. But now he has gone from being in that pit to being in the prison. And that's the end of season two. Do you want to continue on? Like when things are getting that bad, sometimes you just like, okay, I'm going to cut my losses. I'm not going to read this story anymore. And you might feel that way even in your life, that you are in a bad season, and maybe you thought you were even coming out of it. I think Joseph thought he was coming out of the bad season. And he thought, look, now I'm working for Potiphar. Things are good. Things are great. Life is happy. But it takes a turn, and it gets even worse, because now he is in he's in prison. So he's gone from the pit to the prison. Season three, I'm calling it Prison Break. While in prison, he meets two other guys that have been thrown in jail because there was a plot that someone was going to kill Pharaoh, and so the cupbearer and the baker were charged, and they were put in prison while they tried to figure it out. One night, they both have terrible dreams that seem really realistic, and they don't know what the dreams mean, so they tell Joseph about their dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams for them. For the one, the cupbearer, he says, you're going to be released in 3 days. And when you're released, make sure you tell Pharaoh about me, how I've been in prison on trumped-up charges, and they got to get out of prison. And the guy says, sure, I'll do it. And then he tells the baker some bad news. He says, bad news for you, you're going to be executed in 3 days. And it comes to pass, just like Joseph said. But the cupbearer forgets all about Joseph. And that's season three. Season four is in chapter 41, and it takes place 2 full years later. So 2 whole years go by. Pharaoh has had a series of disturbing dreams, and he has these dreams, and in the dreams, there are 7 good cows, and the good cows come out of the Nile, and they look healthy and fat and prosperous. And then 7 sickly cows come up and devour the seven fat cows. 7 skinny cows come up and swallows them all up. And then he has a dream about grain, the same thing. 7 heads of grain that are really healthy, and then 7 nasty heads of grain come and they swallow up the healthy grain. And so he doesn't know what this means. He doesn't know what this dream means. He's got a palace full of magicians and sorcerers and priests, and nobody can tell him what the dream means. And so all of a sudden, the cupbearer says, I know a guy. I know a guy, and he can interpret dreams. And then he tells him about the dream that he interpreted for him. And he says he can interpret dreams. The good part about the story is they knew exactly where to find Joseph because he was still in prison. And I think, again, for us, sometimes we got to realize maybe the reason why it seems like we've been stuck in the same place for a long time isn't because God doesn't know we're there, isn't because maybe that we even deserve to be there, but it's to prepare for something else. And I'm here to tell you today, there's a reason why you are where you are. So God knows exactly where you are when he calls for you and when you're needed. And so Joseph says, comes to Pharaoh, he interprets the dreams. He says there's going to be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of drought time. Joseph gives him a plan of what to do. He says, you should prepare for it. This is how you should prepare for it. And so Pharaoh says, well, we've got to put somebody in charge of it. And so guess who he picks? He picks Joseph, because Joseph knows all this other stuff, obviously has the hand of God on him. And so he puts Joseph in that place. And he's such a good administrator that basically he's the second in charge of all of Egypt, the most powerful kingdom that there was in those days. So that is season four. In season five, the drought and famine come just like Joseph had predicted, and just like the dream had predicted. And it extended beyond Egypt into the land of Canaan, where Jacob and his 11 sons now and their families live. And they're there, and they're suffering from this famine as well. And they have no food to eat. So Jacob tells his sons, says, 10 of you, I want 10 of you to go and go down to Egypt and get us some food, see if you can buy food, but not Benjamin. So Benjamin is now his new favorite son, right? Because he is the other son of his favorite wife and Joseph's full brother. And so they go to Egypt, and guess who they have to appear before to get the grain? Guess, thank you. Yeah, good guess. If I had prizes, I would give you a prize, Sandra. So the brothers go to Egypt, and they got to talk to Joseph. Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize Joseph, right? And they have to bow down to him, which is kind of a fulfillment of his dream. But Benjamin's not there yet. Later on, Benjamin will come and bow down as well. But what happens next plays out over several chapters, and I don't want to take all of that time this morning. But the brothers didn't know who Joseph is. But he seems to kind of mess with them for a while. He accuses them of being spies and asks them about their family. He finds out that their father is still alive and that they have another brother, Benjamin, who is still alive. He sends them back home with grain, but he keeps his brother Simeon in jail to make sure that they come back. He says, I think you're spies. The only way I'm going to believe you is if you bring your younger brother back. You said you got a younger brother? Bring him back and I'll know. So they keep Simeon, and I don't know why Simeon doesn't tell us why that brother. Maybe he picked on Joseph to most, I don't know. But the brothers return home to Jacob. They tell him the story. Jacob says, no, you can't bring Benjamin to Egypt. And doesn't really seem to care that Simeon is, his other son, is still in jail. I don't understand that. But that's what happens in season five. Season six starts, and they are soon out of food. And now they've got to go back to Egypt. Or they're all going to die. And on this trip back, they finally convince Jacob, their father, to let them return with Benjamin. And Joseph prepares a great feast for them, and Joseph seats them according to their age, starting with Reuben all the way down to Benjamin. The brothers look at each other with amazement. How does he know the order that we're supposed to go in, right? And he seats them according to their age. And as they get ready to return home with the grain, Joseph sets it up to make it look like Benjamin has stolen a silver cup. Maybe he's trying to keep Benjamin away from his brothers. Maybe he's just trying to mess with them. Maybe he just wants to see what they were going to do. Different scholars have different theories as to why Joseph did this. But then Judah, one of the brothers, says, he's the one that made the deal, by the way, to sell Joseph into slavery. He says, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't know if it's his conscience or what. He says, take me instead. He says, our father's already lost his favorite son. If he loses Benjamin, he'll die. You can't do that. Keep me instead. I'll stay in his place. And I look at that and I think of the sacrifice that he's making, because he wasn't always the best guy. He did some other stuff in scripture that for another day, another story. But Judah was not always a stand-up guy. But here he is. He's ready to take the place. And out of all the 12 sons of Jacob, some of you might remember this. Do you know the one that the Messiah comes from? Whose line he comes from? It's from Judah. And I think that's really interesting, because here Judah is saying that I'll take his place. And one day from his line will come one that will take our place. Amen. And so Judah says, don't do that. Take me instead. Judah tells Joseph, again, our dad's gonna, not be able to take that. And then the Bible tells us that Joseph can't take it any longer. He can't hold it in any longer. And he tells them, I'm your brother, the one that you threw in the pit, the one that you sold as a slave. It's me, it's Joseph. And they're kind of amazed at that. They probably think he's going to kill him. But he says, don't worry about it. He said, I want you to go back home, get your father, get our father, get your families, bring them down, because we have 5 more years of famine to go. And I want to take care of you. I want to make sure that you're taken care of. And so they go back and they bring them all down. That's, a very condensed telling of the story. And then in season 7, many, many years later, the brothers bring Jacob back. They bring Jacob back, but then many years later, they live in Egypt under Joseph's care and protection. Their families grow up. They thrive. Their number increases while they're there. And when Jacob dies, they think, now that our dad is dead, I wonder if now Joseph is gonna get his revenge. But Joseph assures them with the verse that we read earlier today. He says, don't be afraid. You meant to harm me, but God intended it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Perhaps it seems like there's a lot of stuff that Joseph had to go through. There is. It was years of being mistreated, being hurt, being in a place he didn't want to be, being separated from his family. All kinds of things happened. And he could have been bitter. He could have been upset. But instead, he goes, you meant it for bad, but God knew all the time. And God meant it for good. And perhaps it seems like there was that it's unfair, that all the stuff that Joseph had to go through. And maybe you're thinking the same thing about your own life. Maybe there's some things that happened and you feel like maybe they were unfair. You don't know why they happened. And it seemed like somebody was out to get you. I want to tell you this morning, even if they meant it for evil, God meant it for good. God meant it for good. That's the reality. I want to share with you a couple realities this morning. The reality is we can't get to the good part without going through the other seasons. Joseph couldn't have saved his family. And by saving his family, again, that through his family is the Messiah is going to come and he's going to save the world. But that would never have happened. That would never have happened if those other things didn't happen to Joseph beforehand. And so it's important to know that sometimes we have to go through the other seasons before we can get to the good. And it's important to know another reality. That reality is that none of it was meant to harm Joseph. None of it was meant to harm Joseph. Maybe by the people that did it, but not by God. God's plan was never to harm Joseph, but it was to bring everything to the right place and to set everything up. A third reality is that God is good. We say it all the time. God is good. God is good all the time. Even when we're going through seasons that we don't like and that we can't enjoy. It is hard. It's hard to say that God is good all the time when you're in the middle of something that's not good. It doesn't mean that everything is good all the time. It means that God is good all the time. Even when things aren't good, God is good. It's not good to go through hard times. If I were to say that today, that would be irresponsible, and you would think that I was a terrible person. There are things that happen in our lives that are not good. There are marriages that break up. It's not good. There are people that struggle with addiction for years. That's not good. People go through depression and other kind of mental illness. That's not good. Families fall apart. We face failure. People are abused. And we can't say that all those things are good because they're not good. But what I am saying is that Paul was right when he wrote to the Church of Rome. He says, we know that in all things work together for good for those that love God, who've been called according to his purpose. The Bible doesn't say everything's good, but God surely can work all things for our good. Amen? Amen. The reality is that God is good, and that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Starting with the first story that we find in Genesis, remember, God made the world, and what did he say about it? It was good. Everything he does is good. Everything he does is good. The reality is he is good even when we don't deserve it. He was good to Joseph, right? When we think, well, that's good he was good to Joseph. Joseph deserved it. He was a man of good character. But you know what? He was good to Joseph's brothers as well, right? Did he not spare them from the famine? Did he not make a way for them, right? So God was good to them even when we don't deserve it. God, he's good to us. Romans 8:28 is true. He's working all things for our good. If it's not good yet, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's because the season's not over. It's going to get good. It's going to get good. He's the one who's able to bring good out of our bad. He's the one, the Bible says, brings beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. Genesis 50:20, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm going to invite the musicians to come back up. Most of the time when we talk about Joseph, that's kind of where we stop. In fact, you might think that's where the story of Joseph ends, unless you've just recently gone through the Bible in a year and you finished Genesis. But the story goes on from there. Two verses later, it tells us, Joseph lived 110 years and saw his grandchildren's children. So he saw to the third generation. So God was good. God was good to Joseph. But know how good he was? That for years and years and years. We focus, like, not for nothing. There are probably, I think there's 13 chapters about Joseph. The first 10, 11 of them, maybe 11 and a half, are bad, right? And that's what we focus on. We don't focus on that after that, he had like another 60, 70 years of a really good life. And I want to tell you this morning that maybe you have gone through a time or a season in your life that has been bad, and you think, my life is bad. But that's just a season. God has more in store for you today. And God, if you're in the middle of something bad right now, I can't tell you that it's good. I'm not going to lie to you and say, hey, it's all good. It's all good, right? And that's why I was going to call the message, right? It's all good, right? But I thought, number one, it's going to sound stupid if I say it, right? And then number two, it's not true. It's not all good. But there is a good part. And we gotta work through, we gotta pray through, we gotta wait it out till we get to the good part. And that might be where many of you are today. I'm sorry, Angel. I'm looking at you and John, and I think about how bad things were. One day they're gonna tell their whole story. You've heard bits and pieces of it. One day they're gonna tell their whole story. But it was bad. It was so bad that there are some people that said, it's done. It's over. Like, close the book. I was one of those people. right? But angel's like, no, we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep praying. So we kept praying and we kept believing. And God brought good out of a bad situation. In fact, better than where it was before. Do you think that God loves John and Angel more than you? Me? I don't believe that. I know he loves them, but he loves me just as much. He loves you just as much. Whatever situation you're going through, he knows about it. He knows where you are. You might think I'm in prison and nobody knows where I am. They forgot me. They forgot all about me. I'm telling you, God did not forget about you. God has not forgotten about you. He said he can never forget about you. He says your name is inscribed in the palm of his hand. So on the palm of his hand is your name. He loves you this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand all over the sanctuary. And I just really want to encourage you today. I felt like the Lord was telling me this morning to encourage them. Don't give up before you get to the good part. Don't give up before you get to the good part. You've got more life to live, more years ahead. You're going to go through hard times that aren't good. But remember, he is good. Even when others may mean it for bad, God means it for good. His plans are to bless you, not to curse you, to give you a future and a hope. If you're here today and maybe things haven't been good for a long time, but you're here this morning, I want to invite you to, if you want to come down to the altar, maybe somebody, one of our deacons, our elders, some of the people that pray for people, they'll pray with you this morning. Because God's not done with your story. God is not done with your story. There is more to your life than where it's been right now. If you're alive, he's still working in you, and he wants to bless you. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe before you came in this morning, you were tempted to quit. You're tempted to quit. Call it a day. It can't be fixed. It's done. It's over with. Just write it off. I want to tell you this morning not to quit. Don't quit before you get to the good part. I'm here to tell you today, it's good. It's really good. And I'm sure I'm still going to go through some hard parts as well, but God has been so good to me. Maybe today you want to just take some time and say thank you. Maybe you are in a good season. Maybe this is the best season that you've been in. You know what? That's great. I'm praying. My prayer for you is that it only gets better and better and better. But my encouragement to you this morning is even if bad things happen, that you would realize God means it for your good. He can take what's bad. He can use it for your good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, your word says that he who began a good work in you, you're faithful to complete it. God, we just want to acknowledge this morning, give you some praise for turning things around. Has God ever turned anything around in your life? Is there anybody here that can testify? You need to testify about it this morning, because there are people sitting maybe right beside you and they're going through a rough time and they need to know that God can turn it around. That God can turn it around. God can change that story. I don't want anyone to leave this place today. I don't want anyone to leave this place today without the ability to say that it's going to get good. It's going to get good. We're going to sing a song in just a second. It's based on, part of the song is based on this verse. It says, I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. Do you believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord? Let's sing that. Maybe we start with a chorus.